Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be in church, to be praising and worshipping our God. He is worthy, indeed, of our praise. And we're going to praise him now as we read his word together. We worship God in doing so. We believe that God blesses us as we read his word aloud. And we encourage you all to get your eye on a Bible, share one. Let's read God's word together. A lovely psalm, a song that David wrote, a particular time in his life, and it's now here for us to help us reflect on David's life and also then to help us reflect and apply this psalm to ourselves. This is the word of God. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies. Bolts of lightning and rooted them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me up out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help I can advance against a troop. With my God I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arm can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was none to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I pounded and trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of my people. You have preserved me from the head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me, and foreigners come cringing to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me free from enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. He gives the king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Amen. And may God indeed bless us as we read his word. We return today in our penultimate, that's the one before the last, a penultimate look at David's life here. And today we're talking about celebration. David's celebration at this time in his life. And as I was reading through the psalm, this passage, which is a psalm, this recurring theme came up. Me, me, my. And when we talk about that from a worldly perspective, we talk about this self-centeredness, this egotistical, oh, it's all about me, it's all about mine, it's all about what I have or what I want and all of this. And we don't support that. We don't promote that. We think that that is wrong in the world. But whenever we take that attitude, the me, mine, it's all about me, and we think about God, we apply this attitude to our relationship with God, it becomes something very, very different, doesn't it? In this passage, David says that Yahweh, the Lord, Yahweh, my God, is my fortress. He is my deliverer, my shield, my stronghold, my refuge, my support, my lamp, my horn of salvation, my Savior, and my rock. My rock is that in there a few times throughout the passage. David can say this because he has a relationship with God, a very good, strong relationship with God. That's why he can have this attitude. That's why he can sing this song with such confidence and celebrate in this way. 2 Samuel 22 is, I've already referred, I've called it a psalm. It is Psalm 18. If you go into the Psalms and look through, you'll find almost word for word, just one or two copying errors or one or two slight differences, but it's the same psalm used in the book of Psalms. It's here in this book, 2 Samuel, at the end of David's story, at the end of David's life, to reflect an overall attitude that David was a man who celebrated all that God had done in his life. But the psalm was probably written a lot earlier in David's life. Perhaps way back, 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God makes a covenant with David and talks to him. Saul has been defeated. He is king over both kingdoms. And probably that's when David wrote this psalm. We certainly believe that the Bathsheba incident hadn't happened when he wrote this psalm. That came a little bit later. But this psalm is not set here at the end of his story to try and gloss over David's imperfections. I think we all know, and if you've been following the series at all, David's life is laid out there, warts and all. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it is there for everyone to read. In the sermon last week, when we looked at the consequences of David's crisis, I said there, whenever he got to the point when he said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord, that statement was a repentant statement. And what I forgot to add last week, and what I'm going to add this week, is we know that from Psalm 51. You go and read Psalm 51, written at the time just after the Bathsheba incident. You will read how David confesses his sin. He knows he is a sinner in Psalm 51. His life is laid out. Chapter 12, Psalm 51, warts and all. But the author of the book of Samuel, which was originally one book but has now been split into two, has inserted what we call Psalm 18 at the end of David's life story to reflect this great confidence and general celebration that he has. David wrote it. The author has inserted it, but it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit to reflect David's life and to then inspire us reading it today. It can be applied to each of our lives. And it can help us with our overall attitude in our imperfect lives, the good, bad, and ugly lives that we live. We can have this same celebration. To have this celebration, there has to be a foundation for this celebration. And that's what we want to look at first. If you haven't got your Bible open already, please open it up and turn to the passage as we look at the first seven verses. And you'll see on the screen I've put verses 7 to 1. And you think I've got them the wrong way around, but I haven't. I want to look at verse 7, and we're going to work back to verse 1 to discover a pattern in these first seven verses that would help us to discover this foundation or to realize that we already have it. So in verse 7, David says, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and the Lord heard my cry." So he called to the Lord. Why did he call to the Lord? Well, in verses 6 and 5, he talks there about a snare. He talks about the waves of death. So there's a snare of death. There's the waves of death. The cords of the grave are overwhelming David. And he calls out to the Lord. He calls out to the Lord who is worthy of praise. And not only is he heard, but now he is saved, he says. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved. And he can say, the Lord is my rock. God is my rock. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my stronghold, my refuge. The horn of salvation, though, the word horn means strength. God is strong to save. God is then my Savior, he says. This is a foundational truth that can be applied to each and every life in this building this morning. Because every life in this building this morning needs this foundational truth. Now you might be here this morning and you're saying, well, I'm not distressed. Well, if you don't have this foundational truth in your life, you should be distressed. You should be distressed because the snare of death has a grip on you that you cannot wriggle free from. The snare of death holds you so tight, you cannot get away from it. You might say, I'm not overwhelmed. You should be. Because there is a torrent of destruction awaiting you. Jesus says in Matthew 7, he talks about the broad and the narrow gates, the broad and the narrow roads, whatever way you want to talk about it. He says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Many are walking a broad road to a broad gate to destruction. And if these first seven verses mean nothing to you this morning, then that is the road that you are on. And I'm not saying these things as some kind of scare tactic to scare you into coming to church, to get envelopes off you, to get money off you, to get you in the door, to boost the numbers. It's not a scare tactic for that reason. It's the truth. And it should scare you if you don't have this foundation. It should scare you because you're heading for an eternity lost, an eternity away from God, an eternity in hell. You don't need to be. You can cry out to the Lord who is worthy of praise. That's what David tells us here. You can call out to him because he has the power to break death's grip. He can break that grip on you because God has defeated death in this world. Paul writes, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God rose Jesus Christ from the dead, out of the grave, defeating death, and trusting in Jesus breaks death's grip on you. That is the truth. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. There's that old hymn we sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And then the chorus, on Christ the solid rock I stand. If you haven't already, I urge you to call out to the Lord. Call out to him in overwhelming distress because you are realizing the path you're on. You're realizing the destruction that awaits you. You're on that road. And when you cry out to the Lord genuinely, He will hear your cry. There's no leaving the message after the tone with God on this. He will hear your cry. He is worthy to hear that cry because He has the power to save you. He can make salvation possible for you. Salvation in and through Jesus Christ. Let the Lord deliver you from that great enemy. Paul had many enemies. Our enemy is death. But the Lord can deliver you from that enemy. And when you have that foundation in your life, then you can sing like David. You can say, God is my. The Lord is my. And then you can fill in all the things that God is for you because you know Him, because you have a relationship with Him. Folks, if there's nothing else that you take out of here today, it is the knowledge that you need this foundation in your life. And you can leave here today with that foundation in your life. And many of you here have that foundation in your life. So how do we celebrate? We have the foundation to celebrate. What is the mode for celebration? Well, the mode for celebration in this psalm is singing. So, David sang to the Lord. That's what he did. When he wanted to celebrate, he sang to the Lord. And at the start, that's what he says in verse 50. Therefore, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved and you can't sing, does that mean you can't become a Christian? Maybe some of you are here thinking, I am a Christian, but I can't sing, so can I not celebrate? Well, I can say to you this morning, every person in here can sing. I know that because I've heard all of you speak. So if you can speak, you can sing. But there's more to singing than just your voice and a tune. There's much more to singing. Singing is just one aspect of our worship service. We come in here to worship God and we do it in various ways. And David, in his songs, in his psalms, he helps us to see that singing is beyond just that voice, beyond the tune. It's something that engages your whole body from head to toe. It's something that engages your mind. It's something that we should be coming into God's house with this attitude. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122. We should be coming into God's house ready to celebrate, even when we're not feeling that great. We come in here this morning to worship God and say there's different elements to our worship service. We pray, we read God's word, we have an offering, we sing, and we have a sermon. Those are the five biblical elements. It's not a pick and mix. It's not like, oh, we'll have a chocolate eclair, but I don't like those cola cubes. It's not a pick and mix where you just pick the sweets you like. We come here to worship God in all of these aspects. They're all important. That's why we're commanded to do them. We're to engage in all of them. So we come in. We're rejoicing. But we might be coming in and we've had a bad week. Something very heavy is weighing on us. David says, you are a shield around me. You bestow glory on me. You lift up my head. That's what worship should do. Even when you come in here and your world is a mess, your life is a mess, when you're singing, there should be something within there, within that song, within the worship that lifts you. Yes, you might have to go back out into the mess, but it should lift you. God will lift your head to help you see clearly. But even if your life is going well and everything's really good, you come in and you have to be reverent. So let's bow our heads, he says in Psalm 95. Let us kneel before our Maker. So we can come in with this posture of reverence, but yet assurance that God is there ready to lift us. We're to worship and sing with our hands. Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Aren't we Presbyterians good at clapping our hands to a song? Will I clap? Will I not clap? Or what will I do? Somebody else is clapping. What will I do? We are to clap. We're told in the Psalms. We're to clap our hands. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. And that psalm as well, 63, is reference to lips and mouths and singing. It's a joyous expression to lift up our hands. What do you do when you see somebody across the street you haven't seen for a while? How are you doing? Because you're glad to see them, so you wave over at them. It's an expression that we're allowed to have. Our feet. Second Samuel, I don't know if you've been reading through the passages as we've been studying this. Second Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. whenever the Ark of the Covenant was coming back into Jerusalem, David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might. Daddy dancing on turbo. The wife was watching. She wasn't impressed. Go back and read that passage till you see what happened to her. But that wasn't just something David did. It's something he encourages us to do. Psalm 149. Let them praise his name with dancing. Make music to him with tambourine and harp. Psalm 150. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals, with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Those are the last words in the Psalms. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you feel like dancing before the Lord, just move out into the aisle. Probably go towards the back a wee bit in case you put somebody off. There is more to singing than just our voices. But it says here, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The voice is to be included in that. Psalm 71:23. With my lips I will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. We have two references to praise here in 2 Samuel 22 today. Being actively involved in singing, it opens up your heart to God. Now, I'm not saying that you have to sing. What we're saying today is you should find a way to be involved when we sing. We're commanded to be involved in this, by the way. Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. See, this is a heart issue. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. If we are to be people after God's own heart, as David was a person, a man after God's own heart, we have to open up our heart, and David used the psalms to do it. We're commanded to sing them. It is a way for us to have our hearts opened up. So think about how you can be actively involved as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The very least you can do is, when you see those words on the screen, really focus on those words. Some of those words will be directly from Scripture. There will certainly be scriptural principles within them. We don't sing songs that are not sound. They're not biblically sound songs. So really think about those words on the screen. Listen to the tune. Don't listen too much this morning because we sort of stopped and we lost the tune. But generally, listen to the tune. Music is there. David didn't write poems. He is commanded, set these to the tambourine and the cymbals and the harp and the lyre, stringed instruments, flutes. Music is so emotive. Music can move us to tears without a word. Music is used to send men into battle, a trumpet, and away you go. Music is so important. So really think about that tune. Think about the words that are on the screen. What you could maybe do is imagine you're Tom Jones or Aretha Franklin or something. Pretend you're some kind of diva and you're singing your heart out in your own mind. Be a legend in your own mind. God will not mind that. Sing. When these words are being sung, really get involved. There's a thing on TV called lip sync. It's singing along to the music, and whoever's lips are the closest, they're the winner. So lip sync. Even if your voice is terrible, lip sync. Move your lips. Really get involved in it. And you could even let a wee whisper come out. You could whisper those words as we're singing along. That gets you more and more involved. It's engaging your body from head to toe. It's engaging your mind in what we are doing, how we are worshiping God. And you can move. Tap the pew. You remember what I've told you about Presbyterian shoes? Sunday shoes, two sizes bigger. So you can tap your toe and nobody can see it happening. You're allowed to move, tap, let the music move your body. Think about the words. The words are an important thing. Having a bad singing voice is not a reason to exclude yourself from singing. I've told many of you this before, but I have a really great friend of mine who, when he's got some voice. When you're standing beside him when he's singing, there's only ever one of three things that are happening. He's either in tune, out of tune, or harmonizing. Because he only sings one note. It's a very low note and there's not much tone to it. But every hymn he sings in that one note, I remember the first time standing beside him and I went, oh my word. But then God said, he's praising me with all his heart. It doesn't matter about his voice. He is breath. He is praising the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And if you get involved, you don't need to be musical, you don't need to be poetic, but this is, God has commanded us to sing. And in so doing, when we get involved with that, our hearts will be opened. Ready to hear from God as we sing, singing to God with all our heart. And when our hearts are open, when our hearts are laid bare, the rest of our senses are heightened. We become aware of other things when our heart is opened. And that's why we should sing. So that we can become aware of God around us. It gives us then another reason for our celebration. Yes, our salvation is the reason for is the main reason, but there's also another reason that we find in the rest of the psalm. We see that God is all around us. David, in this psalm, he has the foundation to celebrate. He has the mode through singing. But in this, he sees God around him. This psalm is full of how God has worked and is working in his life. God is working all around this world. God is working for us. God is empowering us. God is teaching us. When we get things wrong, God is forgiving us. He's revealing his glory, Jesus Christ, through us to the world around us. And he is drawing lost souls to Jesus through us. That, folks, should be a reason to celebrate humbly. But let's celebrate this way. Let's open up our hearts and see God at work around us. David sees him here. And we have to just reference the rest of this psalm. But I encourage you to think about this psalm as we read through it. Or as we've read through it, I encourage you to do that at home. David, in verses 8 through to 16, he saw God's hand at work in the world around him. He saw God. He knew where God was working. In verse 31, he says, God's word is perfect. It's flawless. And in verses 21 to 25, he's trying to live the best he can. According to God's word. According to God's decrees. In verses 26 to 28, David there knows how God deals with people who are disobedient. And as we've said, he has his own personal testimony. He's recorded it. It's in the Bible for us, Psalm 51. Just one of the places where we can find imperfection. Confessing sin openly before God and man and asking for forgiveness. Verses 17 to 20, he knows where God is. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delights in me. God is my support, he says. In verse 29, God is my lamp. When he was in darkness, he could see because God lit the world around him. And with your help, verse 30, I can. And there's a list of things there, what God did, what he was able to do when God was helping him. In this particular situation, verses 32 through to 44. Then verses 45 to 51, we see that his opposition trembled. Not because big bad David was coming. It was because David, a man after God's own heart, was coming. A man that God, Yahweh, this God of these Israelite folk, this God who is all-powerful, is working in and through David. And these people trembled before David because of God. And David makes sure that none of the glory is going to him. Verses 47 through to 50. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. There's the foundation. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. Glory to God. Fellow believer, do you see God's hand at work in the world around you? Do you see a situation and you go, oh, God has to be in that. Something powerful is happening there. That has to be God. Are you living according to His commands, His precepts, which are perfect and flawless? Is that the type of life that you are really, really trying to live? Are you drawing on God's strength to tackle whatever it is you have to face when you leave this place of worship today? We have enemies of various different types. Physical enemies in front of us, people. We have enemies of ill health. We have spiritual enemies, Satan. If you're a follower of Christ, you have an enemy. Whatever you face going out through those doors, are you confident that you are drawing on God's strength to tackle that? And as you do that, are people seeing God in you? Are people seeing God working through you? Doing things that they don't know how. They don't know how they're doing it. They don't know why you're doing it. They don't know where your confidence comes from. But you know, they'll come and they'll ask you. Are you living in a way that's drawn people to Jesus Christ? This psalm was used to sum up a lifetime. But it was also a psalm that David wrote to sum up a particular part of his life. So for everyone here, for all of us here, this is a celebration psalm that all of us can apply our lives to. Here's an exercise. Why not go home and look at some of those verses? How do you see God working in the world around you? Could you write a list, the way David has written a list in this psalm, about how God is working in the world around you? Could you write a list of how God is helping you at this present moment in time? Or could you write a list of how God has helped you in times gone by? Could you apply this psalm, literally apply this psalm to yourself? It doesn't matter whether you've been walking with God for 5 minutes or walking with God 50 years. Whether it's summing up your whole Christian walk or just this particular minute in your life, this moment in time, this can be your psalm of celebration. It doesn't matter whether you've been on this earth for something 10 years or a big number with a zero after it. This can be your celebration psalm today. Because at the end of it, David says, he gives the king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed. Now this is David saying, he is God's anointed. But so are you. You've been anointed by the presence of the Holy Spirit when you are saved. You are God's anointed. All of what David has recorded in this psalm is ours to celebrate, is yours to celebrate. It's a framework for our life and for the particular situations that we are facing in this moment. Let this be a personal celebration for each of us today. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain on each of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.